Okay, wow, that brought back memories, that song, Spirit of God, Thou Paraclete. I remember when my two brother-in-laws and I used to sing together many years ago, and Lois would play for us, and once in a while, if Dad was invited to preach somewhere, and he wanted a song, a number of times I remember that we sang that song, and it's not an easy song to sing a trio with, you know, but it has such beautiful words and so many different names. I was just wondering if it was in that book, Is Jesus Christ in You, that Dan wrote. I wonder if they found it there. We'll probably find out when it comes. Holy anointing from above. That's the Holy Spirit, the holy anointing. Turn with me in your Bibles, Ephesians, the 5th chapter. I want to talk to you tonight about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Can't talk about the Holy Spirit without doing that, you know. I think I've told lots of times that our church, right next door to our church, is a college. It's a very fine college for Friends, for the Friends denomination. And over the years, we've had hundreds and hundreds of kids come over, not all at the same time, but people would come each year. Some people would just come in. And it was always, we always had visitors when we had revival crusades, because many of the kids who didn't know a great deal about Pentecost would like to come over and see the Pentecostal services and watch us sing and watch us pray around the altar, and people were filled with the Holy Spirit and prayer for the sick, and some would come to laugh and to poke fun, and others would come because they were hungry and would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I remember that the man who was in charge of chapel, they used to use our church for chapel for maybe over 30 years. They used to fill our church every, it wasn't always the same every year, but they'd have chapel sometimes 5 days a week, sometimes three or four, whatever it was, and they'd use our church. And I got to know Dr. Buswell, who was in charge of chapel, and he was a Methodist man background. He had been a Methodist minister besides a professor. So he was always asking about the Holy Spirit, always asking questions, you know. And it was always so cute. And one time he invited me to come to his class, and I won't tell you that story because it's too long. But in the time of being in the class, he asked me a whole bunch of questions ahead of time. He asked me questions, and then he said if the class wanted to ask any questions, and you know. And finally, he said to me, "Well, I've got another question." He said, "Why is it that Pentecostal people are always talking about the Holy Spirit? Why do you talk about the Holy Spirit all the time?" And I looked at him and I said, "I'm surprised, Doc, that you don't know that." And he said, "Well, that's why I ask you." I said, "Well, we talk about the Holy Spirit because you're the people who always ask us about the Holy Spirit. If you ask us about the Spirit, we have to answer you and tell you about the Spirit." Yeah, but you talk about it all the time. And I said, "No." I said, "You don't ask me about healing. You don't ask me about sanctification. You don't ask me about the second coming. You don't ask those questions at all. When you see me, you say, 'You know, I want to ask you something,' and then you ask me about the Holy Spirit." And I said, "So when I answer you about the Holy Spirit, I want you to remember that I'm talking about the Holy Spirit all the time because you're always asking me." See, you know, it makes a lot of sense to me, and I hope it makes sense to you. But there are people who do ask us, and it's always great to answer. I remember one day earlier in spring, I had to get my glasses. I had to get a new pair of glasses, and I got them fixed. And I was talking to the doctor, and he said, "Well, you know, what have you been doing lately?" And I said, "Well, I just got back from Silver Spring, Maryland." He said, "You did? So what were you doing there?" And I said, "I was preaching." He said, "Well, where was it?" I said, "I was preaching in a Chinese church." He said, "You weren't. were you in the church? I said, yes, I was. And I started to tell him all about it, you know. He kept asking me, you know, and he said, well, wasn't that strange? And I said, no, I said, you know, and I started to tell him that when I first went to Bible school, one of the first assignments I had in one of the classes, it was on the history of missions, and the teacher gave us the assignment to read the story of Dr. Hudson Taylor, who was the head of the China Inland Mission, became the Overseas Missionary Society. But anyways, told us to read the book, and I remember I read it. You know, it took about 2 or 3 weeks besides all the other study. It was an assignment that wasn't an overnight assignment. But I remember when I got done reading that book, I thought, sure, the Lord had called me to China. You know, and so I told him that, you know, and he said, well, maybe the Lord had just called you to help in that church. And I said, well, maybe so, you know. It was so funny. And, you know, the next time I went back to get my glasses and to get some things taken care of, you know, he said, hey, have you been back to the Chinese church again? You know, and he said, you know, and he started asking me more questions. And then he said, well, I can't spend all day with you. I got to get my work done today. So I quit, you know. But I always think about people, you know, they ask you questions and then say to you, you know, what about the Holy Spirit? And then I say, well, why do you always talk about the Holy Spirit, you know? And I always think that's cute, you know. I kind of wait for someone to say that so I can just tell them, hey, I'm glad you asked me. So I want you to turn to that Ephesians, the 5th chapter, because of all the teaching on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, there's no more important subject than the subject of being filled with the Holy Spirit. There just isn't anything more important. You can talk about it, think about it, pray about it, but the most important thing is to get filled with the Holy Spirit and to keep filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is what Paul does, and I'm not going to read the passage. I'm just going to read a few sentences out of it and a few words, because this is this powerful command that the Apostle Paul gives. And I don't really want to deal with the verses that precede it, but I want to deal with the argument and the command that Paul gives. He says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What a wonderful word that he gives to us. It's kind of amazing how in Corinthians, Paul does so many different things. One of the things that he does in the book of Corinthians in the early chapter is he divides mankind into different classifications. One of the classifications is that he talks about natural men and spiritual men. And he says there is the natural and there is the spiritual. And then when he's talking about believers, he divides them up again, and he said there are carnal people and there are spiritual people. So he makes this second category and differentiation. And he helps us to know that the carnal man is the man who lives in the power of the flesh and according to the dictates of the flesh, what self wants. Self is so demanding. Self wants to be seen. It's the old nature, the old man in us, the old carnal nature. And it's there, and it asserts itself all the time. Wants to be seen, wants to be heard, wants to be appreciated, wants to be applauded, wants to be approved, wants to be satisfied, wants to be comforted, wants to be pleasured, wants preeminence. That's the way self is. Self is always, it's the working of the flesh, working against spiritual things. So this carnal man is a man who lives according to the dictates of the flesh, or the dictates of the self-life. And over against that, the spiritual man is the man who lives in the power of the Spirit and lives by the power of the Spirit. And Paul says it in Galatians and in Ephesians and in Philippians and in other places, that those who walk worthily in the Lord are those who walk in the power of the Spirit. those who walk after the flesh or after the man, the manner of men, are those people who walk according to the flesh, to the dictates of their own will and their own heart. And Paul says, if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And he goes on to make another classification. He said that there are those people whose power in daily life is the Spirit of God, and there are other people whose strength in daily life is the flesh, is themselves. It's when in those areas and in those parts of our life where we say, I can do this. I know I can do this. And there is not that reliance upon the Holy Spirit that we need to acknowledge all the time, because Zechariah in chapter 4, verse 6, is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So that what we do, we have to do in the power of the Holy Spirit. So in each of these categories, the Apostle Paul has these men divided on the basis of the filling of the Spirit. And so that verse of Scripture in verse 18 deals with us in the realm of our daily experience, our practical experience in living for the Lord and walking for the Lord. And he's not talking about our position in Christ. We are in Christ. That little phrase, in Christ, is repeated by Paul especially so many, many times in his epistles to let us know that by the Holy Spirit we have been placed into what is called the body of Jesus Christ, into the church of Jesus Christ. We are members one of another in the body of Christ, and Christ is the head. And it's the Holy Spirit who works in us and helps us to relate the fullness of His presence and the fullness of His power in our lives to our everyday life. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit, places it or baptizes us in this sense into the body of Christ at the time of our salvation. And it's one action. It's a thing that is done. And we're saved and we're forgiven and we're adopted and we're sealed and we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And we are in Christ because Christ lives within us. And that is what God does for us. And when we move in any area of living for the Lord, moving through the day, we're working out our salvation with the enablement of the Holy Spirit. And in that outworking of our Christian life, we come to this command by Paul, who's just flat out says, be filled with the Spirit. Makes it awfully easy to understand, doesn't it? You don't have to have someone say, well, say that again. Because it's clear, and it rings clear. And in the original text, the Apostle Paul uses this word, filled. And it's in the present tense, which means here and now, and ongoingly, or continuously. And Paul is saying, be filled with the Spirit and keep on being filled with the Spirit. And in another place we'll see later on in our studies that the Lord says that this is possible because there is such fullness in the Godhead that we can keep on tapping in to the great reservoir of the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and we can always have more. And so he gives us this word in this present tense. It's like when our moms would say to us, I want you to obey me. They mean now, and they mean tomorrow, and the next day, and the day after, and the day after that, and the day after that. It goes ongoingly that we're to obey. Anyways, that's the way it was in our house. And I knew what would happen when it wasn't fulfilled. So you did it in the present tense every day when she said, do this, you had to do it. And she was a mighty mite. She was 4'11". And when I could hold out my hand, she could stand underneath it, see. But when she said, Bobby, then I knew that I was one in trouble and I'd better start obeying, you know. This is a command, and commands are meant to be obeyed, aren't they? Isn't that true? They're meant to be obeyed. And Paul gives us this command to not only be filled with the Spirit, but to keep on being filled with the Spirit. So that's what he's saying on it. And some of you who have the Living Bible and their, what's the other Bible that always has the all the extra words? Can't think of what it's called. Amplified. That's what it's trying to think of, the Amplified Bible. There's so many other ways Paul is saying, be filled. Keep on being filled in a continuous process where you're filled again and again and again and again. And every day you're filled more and more and more. And you keep on being filled by the power of the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't bring you into any different relationship with God. You are still in relationship with the Lord. It isn't some new position. It's the privilege of being filled with God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us, but we're going to see in a few moments when you carefully read the book of Acts that it's our privilege to not only know His presence working in us, but there is that fullness of Spirit that comes to make us equal to the demands of every day, to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, to pray in the Spirit, to labor in the Spirit, to worship in the Spirit. Anything about our lives, we do it in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And as we were talking the other day, when you read the book of Acts, which is the example book, it shows how the disciples were filled again and again. And it gives us a record. It's wonderful that they have chapter and verse divisions in the Bible. They'll know who all we can thank for doing that for us. But when you read the book of Acts, you get into the second chapter, and the first thing it says that happened is they were all filled with the Holy Spirit in the upper room. And they spilled out of that upper room, and they went out, and they were speaking the praises of God in languages that people around there who had come into Jerusalem could hear and understand. Another chapter goes by, and you get into chapter 4, and there we see Peter is filled again with the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God comes upon him. At the end of the chapter, they're having trouble with the government in the city, and they're told not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus in any way. And they said, we can't obey you, we must obey God. And they go back and they said, Lord, you know all about it. And the place is shaken by the power of God, and the Spirit is poured out. And it says, and they're all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And they're filled again and again. And you get into chapter 6, and they're told that if they have to find 7 elders, and the first one they find is Stephen, and it says about him, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was full of the Spirit, had a wonderful fullness in his life because of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You get into the ninth chapter of Acts, and you find the Apostle Paul, who's known as Saul of Tarsus, and he's trying to tear the church apart, and the Lord lays hold upon him, and he's filled with the Holy Ghost, and so is Barnabas, full of the Holy Ghost. And on into these chapters, one chapter after another, and it always says, and they were filled, they were filled, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they kept on being filled. And Paul gets into it late, but he gets into the teaching that he had when he was in Arabia, and God had taught him the truths that are found in Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians, and he teaches the church, and when he's writing to the Philippians, he says, don't let it happen that you lose out in the fullness of the Spirit. Keep on being filled. Keep on being filled. Let that be your goal every day. Lord, fill me afresh as I go to church, as I go to school, as I go to work, wherever I go, whomever I'm with. Lord, just keep me full of the Holy Spirit. Your salvation doesn't have to be repeated in your life. It's a once-for-all thing. We're saved, and it doesn't have to be repeated, and neither does the sealing of the Holy Spirit or the adoption or being placed into the body of Christ or being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But when you're talking about the fullness of the Spirit and being filled as a child of God, you and I can be filled again and again and again. And the Bible teaches us that we can have as much as we want, as much as we can hold. How many times have people who have prayed around an altar and have been baptized in the Holy Spirit gotten up saying, I can't stand anymore. I can't handle anymore. Power of God is so mighty upon me. I'm going to explode, or I'm going to come apart at the seams, or whatever else, because I'm so filled with it. I feel so full of the Spirit of God. That's the way you feel when you come out of church many times, isn't it? Because one of the great ways to get filled with the Holy Spirit is keep going to church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday night, and any other time that you get to go, get in there, because that's one of the ways to keep full of the Holy Spirit. Well, people say, well, why do you have to be refilled all the time? Refilled. Why do you have to? D.L. Moody was the one who said it. He said, Christians have to be refilled because they leak. They leak. There's this loss, this diminishing of spiritual power. Many times the reason the Lord sends revival and outpourings of the Holy Spirit upon the church at different times, in different stages, in different places, in different countries, the Spirit of God is poured out, and it's to deal with the loss of spiritual power and to bring new spiritual momentum to the church. That's the reason God sends revival. Whenever you read about revivals, you read about people who are being renewed in the spirit of their mind and in their heart by the power of the Holy Spirit, and they're concerned about the lost, and they are quickened by the Holy Spirit and filled and refilled and refilled. And that's why the Word is there every day, ought to bring us into a greater fullness, into a new experience of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And that's what hunger and thirst is all about. Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be what?
Filled.
Filled. Filled is the word, and that's the way it happens. And you never come to the place, regardless of how you feel inside, you never come to the place where you have all that you need. You will always need more. You never get to the place where you are so spiritual that you can't become more spiritual. It will never happen. In this life, we will always be growing and learning and leaking and receiving the fullness again and again and again. And that's why it's such a wonderful thing when people come to me and say to me, I'm having trouble praying. I don't know, think I really know how to pray. I'd say, well, you know, and I'd ask them a few questions. And I say, you're praying about this? Well, yes, I am. Are you praying for the salvation of your family? Yes, I am. Are you praying? I'd keep asking questions. And I'd say, are you praying for victory over sin? Yeah, well, yes, but I don't do it all the time. And then ask them more. And finally, I'd say, are you praying to keep full of the Holy Spirit? Oh, no. Well, I do it because you don't know it, but you're leaking out. You know, you say, where's scripture and verse for that? Look for yourself. You'll find it in scripture. Tell you again and again that you always ought to rejoice. You always ought to pray. You ought to pray without ceasing. You ought to seek God without ceasing. Whenever you do that, God will keep filling you. Keep filling you with Himself and with the blessed Holy Spirit. And so we're never filled too much or too full. We're never so full that the Lord can't give us more. We're never so spiritual that we can't grow in grace and in the Lord. Paul does an amazing thing. He takes two contradictory experiences and he puts them together to help us to know, to move from an unknown realm to something that we know. he says that when we are drunk with wine, that that drunkenness produces in us a different kind of life and a different kind of behavior. And what he says about it is, he says, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess. And that means that it's riotous or it's rowdiness. And you begin to live and act like you have never acted before, especially if it's the first time. People who are drunk with wine find that the beverage completely takes them over, and they're dominated by the wine so strongly that their whole behavior is totally different. People who are meek and mild-mannered, when they get drunk, they're out of sight. They're happy, they're boisterous, they do all kinds of crazy things. I had a man in my church who was the wife of, husband of the gal who was our secretary for many years. And her first husband had been killed in an accident with a Sunday school class. They had six kids in his class, and he and the six kids were killed going over a railroad crossing that didn't have any lights or any gates. And she waited about 4 or 5 years, and there was a man attending the church that everybody thought was a very fine Christian, but he was a wino. And nobody knew, because he was a steel worker and helped build bridges. And he would, you know, he'd work on these bridges. And during the week, he'd be drunk every night. And he covered it up for years. From his wife, he'd come, he'd be gone many times. Wherever the bridge was being built, he'd be there working. And he would get drunk. And I can remember that sometimes when he, you know, when his wife finally discovered it, she was so disappointed, didn't know what to do, and tried to live with it. But he was always drunk, and he would call our house once in a while from a bar, and he would have slurred speech, and he'd say, "Hi, Brother Graber, this is Everett," you know, and I'd look at the clock and it was 2 a.m, you know, and I'd say, "Oh no, don't do this to me tonight," because he wanted to talk. He was happy as a lark, you know, and just in his own realm. And I'd say, "Lois and I are asleep." "You know, I know it," he'd say, and he'd just go on and on. And I'd say, "You know, I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to hang up because I need to get my rest. And so does she." And he'd say, "I just want to say one thing." I said, "What is it?" He said, "I love my mother, I love my wife, and I love you, Pastor Graber," you know. And he just cracked me up, and I'd say, "Oh, I really needed that tonight," you know. Hang up. And, you know, a number of weeks it would go by, or maybe even a couple months, and then that phone would ring again. Lois would reach over like this and get the phone and hand it over here to me. And he'd go into this same story again, and he'd say, "I love my mother, and I love Dolores, and I love you, Pastor." And I'd say, "Well, why didn't you just call me during the day, you know?" Sometimes he'd say, "And oh, I love Lois too, you know." I'd say, "I'll tell her in the morning, you know." And you know, when you'd see him, because once in a while he'd come to church, and he'd just be as quiet and as mild-mannered, and, you know, you would never know that this guy, you know, he'd go into the bars. He was a generous guy. He'd treat everybody, you know, and he'd get rolled. They'd slip him a Mickey Finn of some kind, whatever that is, but he'd slip him, and he'd have in his pocket a roll of $50 bills and $100 bills. He'd have all kinds of money, and these guys in the bars would get him drunk, so drunk, and then they'd steal his money from him and they'd dump him in a ditch, you know. And his wife would call and say, "Can you come and help me get Everett?" You know. And he was such a totally different person, you know. And you know, I'm not preaching about wine tonight, but this is what the Apostle Paul says. This is where excess is. And when you come under the domination of the effects of alcoholic beverage, then they do things, their whole behavior patterns are changed. And Paul is proceeding to say that when a man comes under the influence of the Spirit of God, then he too is controlled by the Spirit. And the Spirit leads him and guides him, and his conduct and his behavior and his likes and dislikes and inclinations and disinclinations are governed by the fullness of the Holy Spirit that he experiences in the Lord. And the man who experiences and comes under the power either of drink or under the power of the Holy Spirit will be dominated by that power. And this is what Paul is saying, is you need to be filled. I looked at this glass this morning when Johnny brought it to me, and I could see that it was filled. I knew that the ice was melting, and I was glad, and I did get around to taking a drink. But I thought about that tonight, and I said to myself, I hope somebody fills that glass up. And sure enough, just before the service, or part of the service, it got filled back to the top and replaced all that I had partaken of. But in the Greek, that word filled is used in two different ways. One, it's used in the way where you take a glass like this, it's empty, and you bring a pitcher of water and you fill it. And you fill it full, almost to the point of overflowing, which is kind of a typical illustration of the Holy Spirit coming into your life. He comes in at salvation and he indwells us and he's there. There's a second word that's used, and it's the same word which is used, is translated as filled, but there's an added thought that is there, that it's beyond the presence of the Holy Spirit in us, that when we're filled with the Holy Spirit to full and overflowing, it's a fullness of power that he gives to us, because the fullness of the Holy Spirit is the enablement of God to carry out the Great Commission, to fulfill the Great Commission. He said to us in the Old Testament, you're not equal to it. It's not by your might or power or wisdom. You need the fullness of the Spirit. By my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And the idea is conveyed again with the illustration of wind that we talked about last night. The wind that fills the sails of a sailboat. You know, the wind can fill the sails and the boat can still not be moving. And you can say that the sails are filled out and the wind is there and they're full. But if that boat isn't moving, it's not truly filled. Because when it's filled to full and overflowing, the result of it is that that sailboat is moving. When a sailor is caught in a calm and there's no wind and they're just in dead space, that's trouble. But when the wind comes into that sail and catches it and it's full blown, it comes to the place, the fullness is when it moves that boat across the waters. And that's the word that the Apostle Paul uses when he talks about the fullness of the Holy Spirit. When we are truly filled with the Spirit, you and I are borne along by the Spirit. It's in this sense that we're guided by the Spirit and led by the Spirit. We're under His direction. God gives us utterance and words to say that we may never have said otherwise except by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that the Lord speaks through us. There are times when you have felt that fullness and anointing in your life, and you said something to someone else, and when you walked away, you said to yourself, I wonder why I said that. I don't know if I ever said that before. And it's the Holy Spirit giving you a word in season for someone who needs that word. And it speaks. I remember Dr. Walter Wilson, who was a doctor in Kansas City, who was also a ordained minister, and he did his preaching on the side. His vocation was being a doctor, but he used to go preach a lot. And on one occasion, and he was a great soul winner, and he would witness every opportunity that he had. And I think I've mentioned this before, that he wrote a book. It was one of those little Cole Portage books that Moody Publishing House used to put out, and they were 15 cents. And it was called The Romance of a Doctor's Visit. And he would tell of all the things that happened as he went out doing what he did as a doctor and shared Christ with people. And on one occasion, he was sharing, he was sitting in a train and they pulled into another station as he was going somewhere in Kansas. And there was a man sitting next to him and they were looking out the window and they were at the train depot in this little town. And he looked out and it was raining. And he turned to the friend that was sitting by the window. He said, isn't it amazing how the rain comes down so strongly, but it never hurts the daisies? And there were some daisies in a flower pot. And the guy looked at that pot of daisies, and he looked at Dr. Wilson, and he said, why did you say that? And he said, well, I'm just looking at how fresh and beautiful they look, and they're not beaten down by them. He said, isn't it amazing? He said, but why did you say that to me? Well, he said, I guess the Lord must have made. He said, well, I'm a botanist. And he said, I've studied botany and flowers all my life, and I never thought of that. And so at that moment, you know, a light went on in Dr. Wilson's heart and mine, and he said, God wants me to talk to him. And he started to witness to him. And before he got off at the next place where he was to stop, he had led the man to Christ. And he got up and told the people, he said, I've had a most wonderful experience. And I want to tell you about it tonight, he said, because the most glorious experience in my life is when the Holy Spirit speaks through me to people and I can talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know His fullness because I've experienced His mighty baptism in my life. I thought, you know, how marvelous that was. And that's why the Holy Spirit wants to fill us so that we will be under His control. I don't know that I want to say that He dominates us, but if we let Him, He will. He will. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful how it happens because we let it happen. There are people that think that they can toy with drink. You know, I had a couple in our church, a young couple that I had married many years ago. We went, Lois and I went to visit them. They were close friends. They moved to another city. And I remember in the first evening that we were there, she was serving a wonderful meal. And I don't know what I asked for. And she was busy doing something. And she said, just in the refrigerator door, you'll find what you want. And I opened up the refrigerator door and I saw some bottles of wine in it. And I tried to hide my surprise. But she said, don't pay attention to that. She said, Tom just keeps that in there for visiting businessmen in our business and the things that we do, you know. And, you know, I didn't make any comments. I wasn't going to get into it. And I thought, I'm their guest. What they do is their business. And I, you know, later on, we found out that that wasn't true. They didn't keep those bottles in the refrigerator. You know, as long as those bottles are in the refrigerator unopened, It can't control you. It's when you open those bottles, take them out, and take a drink of it, and take enough drinks until you come under the power of that alcoholic beverage. Paul says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. The purpose of his sermon, I'm sure that you can feel it, wasn't he was just trying to downgrade something that it may be in that part of the world, whatever they did was their business. He was saying, in contrast to how wine can dominate your life, if you yield and submit to the Holy Spirit, he will fill you, and your whole behavior and conduct in life and your thought life and your purposes and goals in life will be to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And what you do will be done as a result of his fullness working in you. And that's the command that he gives to us. And he just enforces it again and again in other ways in Scripture to help us to know that we need to be filled with the Spirit and we need to keep on. And it's the way in which we surrender to the Lord and the way in which we value commands that are given to us in Scripture, as to whether we seek to live in the fullness of the Spirit, to keep on being filled, keep on being filled, keep on being filled. You know, the Bible says, provoke one another to love and good works. Be good for us to say one to another every once in a while, keep being filled with the Spirit. Keep being filled with the Spirit. Don't just say, have a good time or have a good day. Say, keep on being filled with the Spirit. Because that's what Paul says, and he says it in so many, many ways. He calls us to keep on being filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone says, you know, when is a good time to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I told a story a number of years ago when I was here, but it's the kind of story that he loved to repeat, because it's the story of three oldsters, three old timers that were sitting in a New England general store with their feet on the edge of a potbelly stove, and they're discussing the subject as when is the best time to cut a piece of ash wood for a walking cane. And the one oldster says, well, I reckon, he said, that the best time to do that would be in the spring when the sap is there in the wood. He said, that's the time to do it. And the other oldster says, no, that's not it. It's in the fall. Best time to cut a piece of ash wood for a walking cane is in the fall, because then the wood is dry and hard. But the third one was older than the rest, and he was more experienced, and he knew how valuable ash wood was for a walking stick, and he knew how hard it was to find. And so he said, the best time is not in the spring when the sap is in it, the best time is not in the fall when it's hard and dry. He said, the best time to cut a piece of ash wood for a walking stick is when you find one. You find a piece of wood, the moment is now. People say, well, when should I be filled with the Spirit? As quickly as you can. As soon as you can. As often as you can. When's the best time to get saved? When the Spirit of God is striving with you. When's the best time to surrender to the Lord? When he's dealing with you. When's the best time to obey the Lord and receive the fullness of the Spirit? It's when the Holy Spirit is putting a hunger and thirst in your heart and says to us, because he longs to do it, he's able to do it, he will do it if we'll just wait upon him and seek him. He'll fill us to full and overflowing. We're going to sing that chorus. Fill me now, fill me now. I don't know if it's 122. Maybe you can look quickly. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit. Fill me now. I'm going to ask Brother Edwin to come and to lead in that song. Let's open our hearts. There'll be time as we wait upon God. Who knows what God wants to do in your life? Let it, as He kindles a hunger and a thirst and establishes that strong, intense desire for His fullness, the Lord, if He creates that hunger in you and that thirst and desire in you, He will satisfy it. Hallelujah. Brother Eddie, come.
124. Tonight, let's expect, as we heard, now is the time. And when we walk out of this place this evening, we can go out more greatly filled with the Holy Spirit than we came in. And we should expect that. We should expect that God does answer our cry as we open our hearts to Him. And I like this last verse, because that's in here. Cleanse and comfort, bless and save me. Bathe, oh bathe, my heart and brow. Thou art comforting and saving. Thou art sweetly filling. Now, let's take that verse to prayer with us and believe that we're being filled with the Spirit. Be and keep on being filled with the Spirit. That means now. That means tonight. Tonight, as we bow before Him, if there's anyone that must leave, you can be greatly, more greatly filled with the Spirit as you go. The time is now to receive out of His fullness and to come and to come more greatly under the control of the Spirit. We yield Him control, and He comes and He fills us. He gives His Spirit to those who ask. Yes. He has good things in store for us. We have a gracious Father and a wonderful Savior who's the great baptizer, and He wants to fill His people. In Him, God has made all fullness to dwell. And so tonight we come to Jesus, and He will fill us with His Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's go to prayer as we sing this last verse, and let's open wide our hearts and believe it and receive Him. Expect that tonight we are filled with the Spirit of God. Yes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Cleanse and comfort.
Life.